Chelsea, how about the new exhibition that opens later this month?
So on August 23rd, we're really excited to be opening the new exhibition, Constructed Visions, New Media from Korea. And this is the second in our year-long series presenting contemporary art in our focus gallery. As your listeners might remember, we had Takashi Tomooka, the Japanese photographer, in that gallery for a few months toward the beginning of this year, and that just closed a couple weeks ago. This exhibition will be focusing on new media from Korea, as the title suggests. It'll include photography as well as video. And all of these pieces are examining their own environment. We're including four artists from Korea who use video and photography to really explore the indefinite possibilities of digital media to depict and to challenge their own environment. So, for example, one of the artists who uses video as her medium films cityscapes, scenes in a city from fairly far away, usually high up in a building or, you know, a far distance away. And then she superimposes her own hand or some other object that kind of makes the cityscape far away look almost miniature, look like a play cityscape. It's really fascinating. There are a couple other artists who are also photographing or capturing their environment, but tweaking it slightly, as Junbum Park does, who does that video installation I just referenced. Myung-ho Lee has a tree series, of which we'll have one photograph, where he is questioning the concepts of reality by forcing the viewer to look at trees in their natural surroundings, but the tree is isolated by an artificial background and lighting. So you see what appears to be a floating backdrop behind the tree, but surrounding it is still clear blue sky, grass, or snow. So it's a really interesting juxtaposition of almost a canvas in a natural surrounding. It should be a really fascinating show.
That tree that you mentioned, I saw on your website, and I had to look closely to determine, is that really a painting? Is that an actual tree in and of itself? Because you look twice, and it almost looks to be a pen and ink drawing.
Exactly. It's a really stunning photograph, and I love the colors in particular, with the beautiful blue sky, the stark white background, and then the late autumn browned grass in the foreground. And what the artist has done here is it's only minimally photoshopped. To my knowledge, the stretched white backdrop here, you can see kind of where the backdrop is pulling and where it's mounted, but you can't see any of the support structures that are holding it up. And some of those are, of course, behind the backdrop, but some of that has also been photoshopped out so that it looks like this backdrop is just kind of floating behind this single tree in the late months of autumn.
And the dimension has gone on the tree is what's so interesting. It looks one dimensional.
Exactly. It really has this flattening effect, almost similar to what we saw in the Takashi Tomooka show, where he photographed his subjects, his plant subjects, against a stark white background, which also had this similar flattening effect.
When we look at the exhibitions, we're going to have four different countries in this overall program. Can you give me a little preview of what's going to be happening within the next year at the museum?
We'll be opening the third exhibition in this series in December of Raleigh quilts. And these are traditional quilts from Pakistan and the northern Indian region. It's a very, very long-standing art form in this region that is mostly performed by women. And we were lucky enough a couple weeks ago to have a Raleigh artist here in our courtyard. And so many of our visitors had the chance to watch this beautiful form at work. So that will be in December. We'll be displaying a number of traditional Raleigh quilts, most of which will be from Pakistan. And those will be contemporary. So those are ones that are still being made today. And then next year, we will be showcasing an artist from Israel, actually, which is unusual for us and very exciting. And that will be a full gallery site-specific installation. So it's not just something hanging on the wall. It's a three-dimensional piece that will be installed in the gallery that will be, I believe, you'll be able to walk through it. And so I'll have more details on that in the coming months.
I'd love to know more about, but what I'd like to know from both of you right now is, what was it like to work with the Raleigh artist who was here, Nina?
Well, it was really lovely to have her be part of the Fusion Fridays series. She was upstairs just outside our auditorium, and that was another added bonus that we got to have as part of our July Fusion Fridays that many of our visitors really enjoyed.
She really, I was looking at the pictures of her and her work, and wow, what an art form. Did you get to talk with her much, Chelsea?
I spoke with her through her husband, actually. He was also here from Pakistan, and she actually does not speak any English at all. Her husband speaks excellent English and was able to translate between the two of us. And so it's just really wonderful to see this kind of living cultural exchange that we can give here at Pacific Asia Museum. And as we found out at Fusion Friday, even between artists themselves. As Kabir mentioned, Nina was demonstrating her art form during Fusion Fridays. But when the Korean drummers were about to come on, she said, "Oh, can we come down and watch too?" And so it was just this really great moment of seeing this woman from Pakistan who has only been to the U.S. a handful of times, rarely leaves her own village in remote areas of Pakistan, and coming to Pacific Asia Museum in her traditional garb and then standing in the courtyard watching these young Korean performers also in traditional garb, you know, just doing this fabulous drum dance. It was really an exciting kind of, this is really what we're about moment.
I must not forget to ask both of you about the children's troupe that's going to be performing here at the end of August.
We'll be hosting a children's group from Taiwu, which is a very small village in southern Taiwan. And as some of your listeners may know, the history of Taiwan is quite fascinating. There are indigenous peoples who live on the island whose numbers have dwindled in the past decades as they've either assimilated or died out. The ethnic Chinese did not come over to Taiwan really until the 30s, when China was in the midst of a civil war. And so this culture, this indigenous culture, has been dwindling as well. You know, of course, you're losing that long-term memory of all the elders and people as they start assimilating into mainstream ethnic Chinese, Taiwanese culture. And so what this children's group does is attempts to preserve the traditional songs of their village and their culture, which is called the Paiwu culture. And through those songs, it's also preserving the culture itself, because the songs are about customs, about traditions, about ceremony. And so it's a really interesting way to keep this moving forward. And this group has performed all over the world. We're really lucky to be having them here.